Hey y'all, it's me again, Bonnie Violet. I just wanted to take a second and thank my Patreon members. Patreon members are folks who contribute on a monthly basis anywhere from $3 to $150 a month to support the work of a queer chaplain. Big shout out to Victoria Thompson, Jason Brandt, Brandon Stanton, Kim Silva, Brandy McCarg, Randy Sandknot, Bob Kaiser, Joey Huckmeister, Violet Rhiannon, Gabriel, Jonathan, Patrick, and Todd Atkins-Whitley. Thank you so much for your continued contributions. And if you're interested in joining the Patreon, just check the link in the description. Go to patreon.com/BonnieViolet. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. All right. I know that I don't exactly look the cutest for this. I've been in my bed all day. I've been going to try to start talking about some of this stuff on camera as a way of trying to document some things. And I think as a way for me to begin to kind of speak out a little bit in a way that I don't know, I've been struggling with talking with people about where I'm at and what's going on and what's real, and particular with family. I got a call, actually a message, one of my cousins today who I love dearly, and she'd been on my mind a lot lately. And it's funny, I was just seeing if she was doing okay. And then I remember, and then she asked me, like, what do I call you now? She sees me. She can tell. She was saying that Dwayne is who I had to be. It's where I came from, but it's not who I am anymore. So crazy. It was like she's just said everything that I kind of needed to hear. Things that I've been in, I don't know, I guess I feel like maybe I've been fighting this thing that is so obvious to everyone else. She asked me about Bonnie Violet. Bonnie Violet is like my drag character. And I was like, I'm just somewhere in between. I'm not sure. I let her know that I was transgender. After we talked a little bit, a while back, I came up with the name Grace, spelled 333. And that was a name I started to go by in like spiritual communities and faith communities. Sorry, I just realized I haven't been looking at the people I'm talking to. That's probably been a little odd or weird. I think I'm just still trying to pull a lot out of my head, and it's like I go actually in my head and not be present with you or the world even, really. Where was I at? I don't remember where I was at.
Grace was a name that I had come up with, and it was a name that I would use when I was like did queer chaplain work here in San Francisco, and it kind of felt like a name that I would probably go by. And when I did drag initially, it was my drag name, 333 Grace, and but nobody got it. Nobody understood what Grace was, and so I have some people in my spiritual community that I really feel close to who do call me Grace. And I'm almost feeling like that's the name that I land on. Bonnie Violet is very much my drag. I think my drag persona, like Bonnie Violet, the idea even was kind of created for public consumption and understanding of self, I guess. Drag has been a very, I've had a very interesting experience with drag, actually. I'm just recalling when I first did drag. I first did drag when I was like 20, and I had to do it for work. I was working at this gay bar in Phoenix, Arizona, where I had moved to after graduating high school. After realizing that I was gay at that time. It's so interesting how, like, I've just been trying to fight and to be with this part of me for so long. I did drag for work. They had an opposite sex, like you had to flip your gender as part of this anniversary party. I got in drag. And maybe I'll get fancy and be able to put like one of those pictures up here. It'll show a picture of me from the first time that I did drag. And I really struggled with doing drag. But there was a part of me that really loved the way I looked and the way that I don't know, there was something I was really drawn to, but I was really afraid of it. I remember when I first started working at that bar, because it was like, I didn't really know gay people. I hadn't really seen a lot of gay people. I hadn't seen a lot of gay culture. When I realized I was gay, I would say queer. But at the time I didn't have those words, and I definitely would not have used that word to describe myself. But the one thing that I was really adamant about was this idea that what drag did, like, I'm kind of going all over the place, but like, drag queens had a night there at this bar, and I remember I was petrified of the queens. Like, they would try to talk with me and interact with me, and I would just kind of be like, I don't know what to do, and then I'd kind of scurry off. And for a long time, I just didn't really know how to handle them. I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. One night, I remember Cherokee LaPierre was her name, and I remember her, can't even remember exactly what she said, but I just recall her like just kind of like just grabbing onto me, and I don't think it was physical, but just like taking a moment and be like, what is your deal with it all? And I started to learn that like drag queens were people too, and then I did drag for this party, and then I ended up getting hired to do a couple of gigs after I got in drag that one time. And so then I had an opportunity to get in drag I did it a couple more times. I did a pageant for this movie that was coming out. That's when I learned I was allergic to blue eyeshadow. I did another number at a club, not a club that it wasn't that I worked at, and I can't remember what it was called, but I remember my aunt Tina came to that show, which was really kind of cool because she wasn't really hip on the gay thing at first. She just wasn't hip on it. She didn't understand it. So it was really cool that she came to this drag show. Anyway, I'm totally going off on all these tangents, but basically, I had a really hard time being in the drag and this idea that I had to like put on this persona and like I'm, you know, this person. Idaho was like my first drag name because that's where I was from, and I was in Arizona, and so I was just Idaho. I had a really hard time separating myself from this person. I was like trying to get into acting and doing some modeling stuff too, and like, but I still couldn't pull myself out of the situation. And I remember just being really not happy with the fact that guys would hit on me as I was a boy, you know, cocktailing at the bar, and they would hit on me and make me feel pretty, you know, all that sort of stuff or whatever. But then when I was in drag, they would also be trying to get with me. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, you know, like, I'm a dude who likes dudes. I'm not a dude who wants to be a girl, or is a girl that, you know, like, again, I just didn't have the words for it, but I was very adamant, like, I was a dude who liked dudes. At that time too, like, anyone called me she, I was like, don't call me she, I'm not a girl. Don't call me she, I'm not a girl, which is just so crazy, because I've been using she for my pronouns for 7 or 8 years now. I mean, this was like 21 years ago, when I was 20. So a lot has changed. Yeah, drag though, as later on in life now, is really, I've really kind of embraced it. And even at that, I've had a really hard time initially being this drag persona and not me. Performance was really difficult for me. And I think it was really difficult for me, not because it was a role I was playing, it was because I couldn't get out of myself. It was actually me working on showing a part of myself that I hadn't felt like I could. So it was really personal, and it was really scary, and I just couldn't imagine how, like, scared of it I was, to perform and to, like, put myself out there. I had a very clear idea of what I wanted to look and what I wanted to wear, and I felt really, like, content and pretty and happy with the way that I had created some sort of expression of myself. But it's petrified me to think that the rest of the world might not like it. I just barely shaved off my beard, but I had a big, beautiful beard, and it was a beautiful, beautiful bearded drag queen, I thought. I never felt so pretty. But it was really hard for a while. And then I think eventually, you know, it's become like, I don't have to take it that serious. It's like, you're performing on show, on stage, usually time I'm raising money for, you know, the sober community. So it's not that serious. And, you know, I've been doing it long enough to where people, I know some of the people in the crowd, and I know they're there to see me, and I know that they love what I do, and they're excited to see how sparkly I'm gonna be this time or whatever. And so I feel a lot more comfortable, a lot more like, I don't know, I just don't worry about it as much. But I've been really struggling emotionally, and I can't quite figure out what it is. I just was blown away when she asked me, what do I call you? She sees me, and I don't ever see her. Like, I'm so far away, and she sees me. I think my family does too. I think they always have, even if they couldn't have put a finger on it, and even if they didn't want it to be true. And in the same way that I maybe have. I need so much just to be me. more of me, to connect with more of me on the inside, on the outside, and just integrate it. I cannot live fragmented anymore. I just can't take it mentally, emotionally. Like, I just can't. I'm curious to know what's gonna actually come of this.
Hey y'all, Bonnie Violet here again. Just wanted to take a second to let you know about Splintered Grace Podcast. Splintered Grace Podcast just completed its fifth season entitled Still Seeking. Splintered Grace is a podcast that I co-host with my aunt, who is a conservative Christian and one of my biggest supporters in my trans identity and just life in general. While many family members are choosing to no longer speak, we have chosen to sit at the table and engage in difficult conversations to find peace and restoration. Over our 24-year relationship, we have had a lot of ups and downs, and we haven't always really liked each other. We definitely never understood each other, and still some of it we don't, but we love one another so much and so hard and really work hard to show up for one another. And our hope is that by listening to this podcast, others may be able to begin to have peace and restoration in some of their other relationships with family members and or other loved ones. Check it out, Splintered Grace Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts or on YouTube. Take care. Love ya. Bye.